Good morning. So my name is Susanna Hinton, and I'm here in my role as NBA Renew Wellbeing Facilitator, which means absolutely nothing if you don't know what any of those words mean. So basically my role within the NBA is to encourage churches to look after our own wellbeing, and also to raise the profile of the national charity Renew Wellbeing, and then to encourage churches to consider whether or not God is calling them to open a Renew Wellbeing space, and if they do feel that, then to walk with them in the journey towards opening one of them. So today I'm going to start by exploring what wellbeing is, and then I'm going to focus a little bit on what Renew Wellbeing is and how a Renew Wellbeing space might look. Three of my friends have joined me from North Allerton, and they're going to come up now to do the Bible reading. They are Joe and Kath and Malcolm, and all three of them are involved with the Renew Wellbeing space in North Allerton. So over to them. Am I pressing the wrong one? Not going. Am I pressing?
So the first reading is from Jeremiah 6, verse 16.
Sorry, if you could... Yeah, thank you. It's not, the clicker doesn't seem to be working, so I'll leave it to you. Go for it.
This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls.
From Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation, the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verses 4 to 9. I just share that this passage is very dear to my heart. It was sent to me in a get well card after a severe work-related breakdown. This passage was instrumental in my recovery and taught me a strategy for dealing with the troubles of life. Paul says, always be full of the joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Help if you remember to switch this on. That's why it wasn't working before. So let's just start off by considering, what is well-being? Well, it's a bit of a buzzword these days, well-being, and you've probably heard it a lot. Some of you may have an idea of what you feel it means, and some of you may be turned off by the mention of the word. But I just feel it's important that we understand that it's actually something that we as Christians should really know and understand, because we've been talking about it already for 2,000 years as Christians, and the Jewish people have been talking about it for centuries longer than that. And that's because this word, shalom, or in the Greek in the New Testament, irony, I believe, explain exactly what well-being is. So that these words mean completeness, wholeness, soundness, peace, welfare, and all of those things added together mean what today we call well-being. It's an more than an absence of strife or warfare. And the two passages that we had read for us at the beginning express it as rest for your soul. And how many of us just long for that wonderful sense of rest for our souls? Don't we just long to have some of that? And the thing is that, sorry, I'll just go back to that, that in the Bible, we discover a lot about how God both is peace and offers us peace. So for a start, if we have a look in the Old Testament, I've just picked these passages out at random, but you have Gideon, who is, after he's won all the battles, he builds an altar to the Lord and calls the altar, "The Lord is peace, Yahweh Shalom," which means that this is an integral part of who God is, and Gideon has understood this. And then in Isaiah, the prophet there tells us that the coming Messiah is going to be called the Prince of Peace. He wouldn't be a warlike figure, but rather he would be somebody who would bring peace with him, and we see that so wonderfully fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus gives peace when we read about him in the gospel to almost everybody that he meets. To the sinful woman who anointed his feet with expensive perfume, he says, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace." And to the woman who touched his cloak in the crowd and was healed of her bleeding, to her he says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you, go in peace." And then to all of us, he promises in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid." So this shalom peace isn't something for us to strive for. It's a gift that the Lord gives us. It's a wonderful thing, this, that we are given this gift. However, gifts need looking after. So how do we look after our shalom peace? And actually, I feel that the answer is given beautifully in that passage from Philippians chapter 4 that Malcolm read, and he also said that for him, he had found that as being a way to navigate through the difficulties of life. So it starts off by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always." So however you're feeling, even if you aren't feeling joyful, rejoice in him. Keep doing it all the time. Find something to rejoice in. You will always be able to find at least something. At the very least, "Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me." But there is so much else, isn't there? There's, like today, the sun I can see shining outside, the warmth that the sun brings. Just be prepared to keep your eyes open at all times and notice and rejoice in the beautiful things around us. And then it says, "In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." In every situation, not just on a Sunday, not just during your quiet time, not just when somebody says, "I've just discovered this fantastic thing, isn't that wonderful, praise the Lord," but in all circumstances, at all times, have that conversation going on with the Lord as you go through life. And every time that you have something which is worrying you or something which is burdening you, just say, "Lord, please, I need your help." All the time, keep doing it. And the promise is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. And that's the key thing, that this peace will guard you and help against the worries and fears that take over. And then the passage goes on to say, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, all of these wonderful things, focus on these. Keep looking at the lovely things, the admirable things. Make yourself focus on these things. Take charge of what you choose to focus on. Don't keep watching the news if it brings you to a place full of fear and anxiety. Switch it off. Turn off your social media if you're finding that the more you look at it, the more anxious you are getting. I know it's hard because it's addictive, but sometimes we need to take hold of ourselves and say, I'm not going to check on that every 5 minutes. I'm going to put my phone in a different room while I concentrate on doing something else. If you've had an argument with somebody, don't relive that argument over and over in your mind. That's very easy to do, isn't it? But choose to let it go and look for these good, positive things, the true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable things. And again, what's the promise? The God of peace will be with you. However, you may say, I don't really think I have shalom. Peace. And that's quite understandable because it's really easy to lose that sense of God's shalom peace, isn't it? How many of us wake up and worry in the middle of the night and find that the world just seems overwhelming and you can't switch off the worrying and it gets worse and worse and round? Maybe we're fearful for the future, if not for ourselves and maybe for our children, when we're bombarded by this 24-hour news. Maybe you've been to the doctor and you're waiting for test results. Maybe you've had the diagnosis that you really hoped you wouldn't have, and you're struggling to come to terms with the implications of that. Maybe you're feeling the impact of a relationship breakdown in your family and all of the hurt that that causes. Maybe we're consumed by fear and worry over those things. Maybe we're suffering from loneliness. You see, life happens. We all experience the rubbish that life can bring us and throw at us. Some of us seem to be better able to cope with that than others, but some of us will really struggle. None of us is immune to worry and fear and anxiety. And sometimes when those immediate things really begin to take hold, they get in the way of our vision of the Lord, and shalom peace seems like an impossibility. For some of us, it gets worse than that because we find that actually we cannot control what our minds are doing. We can't just pull ourselves together. In the same way as a virus can stop our bodies from behaving properly and stop us from doing what we normally do on a day-to-day basis, so mental illness can stop our minds from behaving properly and stop us from leading our day-to-day lives in the way that we're used to. And loss of peace, loss of well-being is a huge part of that. It's so important that we understand that God doesn't say, if we believe in him, we'll never experience bad stuff again and we will never struggle with life. He doesn't promise that. But what he does is that he promises he will be with us and he will show us how to navigate every step of the way through the world that we live in. It's that passage from Jeremiah, isn't it, that says, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and we will find rest for our souls. Psalm 23 is also beautiful, isn't it, at the end. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil because you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. When we feel overwhelmed by life, let's just try to hold on to the truth that God is with us. Even when we struggle to see him, he is there. He is protecting us. He is leading us to the better place at the end of the dark valley. And if we struggle to believe that for ourselves, this is where church family comes in. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, ask them to believe it for you and to uphold you in their prayers. We're called to be bearers of peace. In Isaiah, it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. Because the reality is that everyone in the world around us is struggling with fears and anxieties. Poor mental health, isolation, along with underfunded and overstretched mental health services in our country are presenting a real and growing problem. And I believe that we as churches have a lot to learn about how to support and help people who are struggling with their mental health. And we also need to remember that Christians struggle with poor mental health. We need not to pretend that that isn't the case and that it shouldn't be happening, because it is happening. And more often than not, Christians who are struggling with poor mental health will feel that they are under pressure to be healed. When people come and say, "How are you?" they feel that the answer should be, "Oh, I'm better than I was," when actually they're just feeling like curling up and disappearing down a hole. Sometimes people who are in the church and struggling with mental health actually need our support and our love even more than we realise. So how can we be bearers of peace to our church families? Do we look after each other in the first place to try and prevent this from happening? Do we notice those who are isolated and offer them a coffee or... Oh, sorry, back it went. Do we offer help to those who are struggling? Do we look out for people who are isolated, offer them hospitality, invite them out for a coffee? Do we help each other not to get too busy in the first place, but to have proper time off? I know your pastor is away at the moment, isn't he, on sabbatical, having that time off, but when he's here with you, do you as a congregation encourage him to make sure he has a proper day off every week and that he has that shalom peace time built into his structure? You may do, I don't know, but the reality is that pastors often are the ones that struggle the most to make sure that they find that space and that time, and it takes a conscious effort by the congregation to encourage them to do that and to understand that they can't always be available at every moment of the day. We need to encourage one another to practice habits of well-being. So this is where this one comes in. So this is me with my husband at the top of Helvellyn. One of our favourite things to do to try and find that peaceful space, we call it our head-clearing space, is to go fell walking. And actually, normally, most weekends, you will find us in the Yorkshire Dales. If Phil's with me, it'll be up on top of a mountain. If I'm on my own, it might not be. But we do just find that closeness with the Lord in his creation, that time of physically walking, that time together where we are relaxed and can talk about stuff that maybe we can't during the normal course of the day, this brings us that head-clearing space, that wonderful peace. It'll be different for everybody, but you need to look for what it is, what the activity is that brings you that sense of shalom peace, and make time for doing that thing. It might be gardening, it might be knitting, doing cross stitch, it might be going out for coffee with your mates, whatever it is. Just make sure that you take time and make time for doing these things. And in our community at large, by being people who know the Lord and have that gift of shalom peace, we will have an impact on those around us. Even if they don't immediately recognize the source of our peace, we will spread that peace of God around us. It doesn't mean that we've got to have everything sorted, because none of us does. But by walking close to the Lord, we will inevitably radiate something to our families, to our communities, of the Lord Jesus. And this is where Renew Wellbeing can come in. So, what is Renew Wellbeing? Oh, I'm not sure you can read that very well, can you? So Renew Wellbeing is a national charity that was set up in 2017 by Ruth Rice, who is a Baptist pastor, and it came about from her own struggles with mental health. She suffered a breakdown. And there is a book which I'm afraid I was going to bring a copy with me, but Amazon was slow and it didn't come in time. But there is a book that she has written which explains her journey through mental illness to the point where her church opened a Renew Wellbeing space. And then from there, the journey to making that a national charity. And there are now over 250 Renew Wellbeing spaces across the United Kingdom. The book is called Slow Down, Show Up and Pray. The reason I'm laughing is because it gets commonly called Slow Down, Shut Up and Pray. But it's Show Up. So if you want to look for that for yourselves, it is available on Amazon for about £10. I thoroughly recommend you read that if you want to find out more of the story of Renew Wellbeing. And then what a Renew Wellbeing space is very simple. They are simply shared, quiet spaces where it's okay not to be okay. And they'll usually be around a prayer space. They're run by local churches, and it's simple cafe style. So we're going to see a video now, a 5-minute video from Renew Wellbeing, which explains a little bit more about that.
More than ever, people are struggling with their mental health. And as the church, we have a great opportunity to step up and offer support to those in our fellowships and communities who would really benefit from knowing that they're not alone in this. Renew Wellbeing is a charity that helps churches to set up simple, safe, sustainable spaces where it's okay not to be okay. This isn't about churches trying to become mental health experts, but rather using our resources and the things we do well to offer some basic support and provide an environment that promotes well-being. The Renew Wellbeing model is based around 3 P's: being prayerful, being present, and being in partnership. Being prayerful is about having good prayer practices of our own and then praying alongside others, demonstrating what it means to be a people of prayer. This can be done by creating a quiet area that can be used for private prayer and reflection whenever the space is open, but then at set times inviting those who want to join in a time of simple corporate prayer. We have 3 prayer rhythms that we offer as a resource. Each prayer is made up of short phrases, either based on scripture, the Lord's Prayer, or the Prayer of Examine. These are read by whoever's leading, and in between, space is given for others to say a word or a sentence, adding their own prayers. This can be done out loud or just quietly to themselves. Each rhythm has been designed with the most vulnerable in mind, and by using the same rhythm each session, people know what to expect, which makes it less threatening. There is no expectation that people have to join in with the prayer times, but by modelling prayer in a way that makes it accessible for everyone, we've found many using the Renew spaces have taken the opportunity to engage. Being present is exactly that. Being there with people, journeying with them, lending a listening ear when appropriate, but mainly just turning up and being available, offering company and a chat, or sharing hobbies and activities that anyone can join in with. Renew spaces are places of welcome and inclusion. It's all about doing things together, whether that's just doing an activity you love in the company of others, showing someone else how to do your hobby, or maybe learning a new skill or hobby from someone else. It really is that simple. The hard part is often trying not to overcomplicate it. It's organic, it will evolve and develop around those who are using the space. Here are a few examples of some hobbies that people have done in some other Renew spaces. Being in partnership. Within the charity, we promote the 5 ways to well-being. These are things that were identified as being beneficial to people's mental and emotional health by the New Economics Foundation and provide a common language with other mental health services. We encourage churches to find out who their local mental health links are in the area, so that if someone does come to a session needing more help, we can support them in accessing that. And so that the church can help take the pressure off other services by providing low-level, constant support that GPs and other services can signpost people to. This is often called social prescribing. For example, if someone is depressed because they're on their own all the time, we can provide a space where they're invited to come and meet others. The Renew Charity is also a partnership across all the Renew spaces. Many even describe it as a family. We provide training, resources, and ongoing support. We also work closely with Sanctuaries Ministry UK, who have some great theological resources which they kindly make available to any churches who host a Renew space.
If you three would like to come up now, we are going to tell you a little bit between us about what a Renew wellbeing space can look like from our experience of it. Jo here has been involved in the Renew wellbeing space in Northallerton, which is under the umbrella of the Living Rooms, since the first inspiration, really. She was one of the key people who said, oh, we've got to make this happen. So first of all then, Jo, can you just tell us, what does a Renew wellbeing space look like? How does it feel? What happens? What works well?
Yeah, as Susanna said, there's over 250 Renew spaces across the UK. And if we walked into those today, they would all look different. And yet, the DNA of Renew wellbeing would, I believe, be evident to you all. It's such a simple model. And in that simplicity, it's therefore flexible to what your resources are and what your context is of where your Renew wellbeing space is. So some are in churches, some are in church halls or accommodation owned by the church. Some are in community spaces, as ours is. No one is better than any other. It's what you are able to do, what's manageable for you, what's sustainable for you, and what is right in the context of the community in which you're setting up the space. A Renew wellbeing space is always warm and welcoming. Churches are good at doing warm welcomes. You're very good. We had a lovely warm welcome today. It's really simple. I think someone said all you need is two people and a kettle, and you can have a Renew wellbeing space. And it is pretty much like that. It's warm welcome, acceptance, inclusion, hospitality. It is as simple as that. And some activities, because we're not there to fix people, we're not qualified to do that. We're just there to care. And that in itself makes a difference in people's lives. We know that we're actually a charity in Northallerton because the five churches in Northallerton came together and said, let's do this as one. So we formed a charity. So no one church was owning it. We had our AGM this week, and we invited the local mental health teams, and we have a team called Living Well in North Yorkshire Council that do kind of early intervention short-term for people who've had a life-changing event, bereavement, lost their job, that sort of thing. And three of our local coordinators came along, which was a real encouragement to us that they took time out to come to the AGM. And at the time, the chair gave time for questions and comments. And one of them said, we'd just like to tell you that we don't think you know how much of a difference you make in people's lives. And I think it is so simple. You know, what do? We show up, we make a drink, we get alongside people, we have a chat. They chat with each other, we play a game of Uno, we do a jigsaw. It isn't rocket science, but the testimony is people are saying, this has changed our life. So it's really simple to do, but be yourselves. Just do what you can do and what will work for your community. Don't feel you've got to, you know, match another Renew Wellbeing Centre. And that sense of Renew Wellbeing family is really real. You know, we feel very supported by the National Renew Wellbeing and a part of a belonging of something.
Thank you very much, Joe. That's great. So hosting, I think that's Malcolm, isn't it, next? So Malcolm's just going to talk a bit about, you know, who can host, how it feels, what happens. Sorry, I've switched questions. I'll go back to the ones I'm actually asking you, which are who can host, what's it like to host, and what about your own mental health?
As a helper at the Living Rooms, I simply seek to show the love of Christ that he's constantly shown to me. And whether it's opening up or closing up, brewing up, enjoying a jigsaw, playing Uno, or simply chatting, I just want our guests to relax, feel at home, and leave feeling just a little bit better than when they came in. We try to offer a safe place where our guests can forget their troubles for an hour, perhaps get something off their chest, meet with other people, and even make friends, new friends. Above all, whatever their troubles or needs, I just want them to feel that they aren't judged, criticised or belittled, but rather welcomed and included and loved. We're not just hosts and guests, but more family and visitors. I find that helpful to me as well, to forget what's going on in my life sometimes, and just put things in perspective.
Thank you so much, Malcolm. Thank you. Kath, I'm just wondering, Tony, if Kath stood next to the podium, would it pick her up? Yeah, go for it.
What, do you want me to?
You can do a Valdunican.
Oh, I can do it. No,
you can stand next to it. It's just that I'm aware that the podium hides Kath, so.
Okay, can you all hear me?
Yeah, you can hear you back. So Kath's going to talk to us about the prayer element and how it works, where we pray, who can come, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, so, be prayerful. That is the centre for all that we do in Renew. But from a day-by-day thing, as we host there, we always pray as host before we start. But bearing in mind that not all people that host are Christians, so we're very conscious of all of that. During the halfway through the session, we go through what we call the rhythm of prayer. And I think over here we've got some samples of what the rhythm is all about. And it's just a time where we invite people to come or not into a quiet space. And the morning prayer is based around Psalm 103, which is the one that we use because we meet in the morning. And it just takes you through where, and it's so simple, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. And you're invited then to just speak out names to bless him. And then forget not all his benefits, and then we're invited. And we invite people to just say that in just a word or a phrase, not great, long, but just in a great... And, and it takes you right through there. And then people are then invited to just stay in that space, just to receive. At the end it says, he crowns you with love and compassion. And just you invite people to sit for as long as they need, just to receive that something. And, we could tell amazing testimonies about that. But I think the important thing is be prayerful.
Thank you. Yes, and as Kath said, we've set up a table down in your prayer area down here, which just gives some idea of the sorts of things that you might find in a typical Renew Wellbeing prayer space. The other thing is just to say that explicitly, in a Renew Wellbeing space, we do not do prayer ministry, because we are dealing with people who are vulnerable and also people who may have no faith. So the prayer area needs to be as accessible as possible to anybody to come in and feel under no compunction to do anything they don't want to do. So have a look at that at the end of the service and just see some of the things that are there. As Kath says, the rhythm of prayer cards are there morning, lunchtime and evening, along with other things that help to focus prayers. There are some colouring cards, which is just a way of helping to focus on the verse as you're colouring. And the prayer space can also just simply be there as a quiet space for somebody who just needs to withdraw for a moment, maybe finding it's too much to have lots of people around. And it's there as a space where they can withdraw and be separate if they need to. So we get such breadths of people coming into the living rooms, into the Renew Wellbeing space, that we could tell you stories all day, but we won't because we know that you don't want to sit there all day. So these guys have got a story each to share. So Jo, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about John. So John came into the living rooms. He was referred by the Living Well team I talked to you about a little while ago, and he was at rock bottom. He was working full-time. He was carer for his wife, who had significant health problems and still does. And his life literally just fell apart. And he considered, if not attempted, the worst. And he got referred to the Living Well team, and they brought him along. It was really hard for him to come over the threshold the first day. I think that's common for people to come into a Renew Wellbeing space, really hard. So that's why the welcome's so important. If you see someone hovering outside, to just go out and welcome them in. John came in and he became a regular with us. He gradually shared. It was during COVID time, so we had our prayer space was closed. But instead, we did a sensitive time of reflection where we brought God into it and said things like, you know, if you can sense God's presence in this meditation, go with it. If that's not for you, just concentrate on what you can hear, what you can see, that sort of thing. And he started to engage and would then have conversations about faith. And he said to me one day, I wish I had your religion. And I said, I would prefer to call it faith than religion. And he went, ooh, what's the difference? And that followed sort of an interesting discussion with a few of us over many weeks. He gradually, his well-being improved. And one day he came and he said, could I host with you? So we said, yeah, sure. We'll take you through our recruitment process. He became a host. And then occasionally on a day he'd come in hosting and he'd say, actually, I'm not great today. Is it all right if I'm just a visitor? We said, fine. No problem at all. So he did that for a while. And then he kind of disappeared off the scene for a little while. And I bumped into him and he said, oh, I'm volunteering. They'd moved house out of North Allerton. We knew that. And I thought, oh, it's maybe just busy with, you know, new house, new home, new community. I bumped into him and he said, oh, I'm volunteering with a charity in Thirsk, using my skills to upcycle bikes. And he was full of it. And he said, oh, but I'll pop back and say hello. So he came in and he's moved out to a village for a home suited for his wife's needs. And after this faith and religion conversation, we'd invited him to the Alpha course that was running. And he said, oh, no, I'm not sure. I said, fine. And anyway, he came in very recently, and he said, oh, I'm glad I've seen you. He said, I've started going to the church in the village. He said, and I've done Alpha, and I'm now on a prayer course, and I'm going on with God, and it's all this place's fault. So, you know, that's a lovely journey story of John, and he's still one of our, you know, avid fans.
Which is wonderful. There are stories, obviously, of people who don't go that full journey as well, but it's so encouraging to hear those ones that do. It's fantastic. Who's next? Malcolm.
Although I am a host, I struggle myself with stressful situations, like trying to sort out problems, financial problems with the bank, or, you know, when you go in for a meeting there and all these questions are fired and you're trying to think up the answers, or you haven't got the information with you that they want you to have. And I'll come out of that situation all wound up, basically. But I've escaped from that by going round the corner into our Renew Wellbeing space. And a cup was put in my hands, and Someone will have a few words with me, and I'll go and sit down to one side, maybe, and just calm down and get back on track, if you like. And if life is getting too hectic generally, hosting helps me take my mind off things, and just helping other people who've come in and enables me to put things into perspective when you are dealing with people who've got far greater problems than you yourself. Really, I only wish that there'd been such a place when I needed it after my breakdown 25 years ago. A place where it's okay not to be okay. No one's going to question you about what your situation is, but you can just be yourself.
Marvellous, thank you, Malcolm. Kath?
I just want to just tell you, like Joe said, there are lots and lots of stories that we could tell. But this one particularly, we had this person come in to renew who was really in a very, very bad place. And but then they came back because of, all we did was give them a cup of tea and let them talk if they wanted to. And gradually, week by week, they did come back. And just and one of the comments was, "This place has saved my life." And that's quite a thing. But the one thing that really sticks in my mind to this person was that they wrote this poem about the Renew. And it is entitled, "A Place Called Renew." So this, for us, sums up our place, that where we are. "A chair to sit, a cup of tea, an ear to listen to you and me, a safe place to go, no judgment or blame, a listening ear, we're all the same, feeling sad or all alone, needing a friend or a smile, or often just to sit in a place for a while. A picture to paint, a puzzle to do, some cards to play with for me and you. A place to knit or sometimes to sew, but more than this, a place to go. A God-given space to hold us a while in a safe, prayer-centered place."
Wonderful, thank you. So if you would like to ask any of us any questions afterwards, we're going to be hanging around for a while. So anything that you just would like clarifying or just want to hear some more stories, then we'd be glad to. As Jo said, she could talk all day about Renew Wellbeing. So as I say, I mean, you probably don't want to, but she will curtail it. So let's just finish with a prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for that wonderful, rich gift of shalom, peace, that you have given to us. Lord, we pray that you would show us how to look after it for ourselves, that you would teach us how we can help other people with their well-being and their shalom, peace. And Lord, that today, even just today, we will take that time just to be able to focus on you, to rejoice, to bring to you our worries, to focus on the good things, and to receive that peace beyond all understanding from you, which will guard our hearts and our minds. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.